just talk just for a few minutes that I said this in the first service. Incidentally, it's 11 days until Thanksgiving. Come on, somebody say, I want some turkey. And if you don't have anywhere to go on Thanksgiving, we open up the doors next door for you at the Generation Center. This is our, I want to say, 20th year of serving Thanksgiving dinner on Thanksgiving Day. And so we'd love you to be a part of it. Kathy has a big list in the back of some needs that she still has. And if you want to help with that, let her know. She's got a great team together for that. 44 days until Christmas. Come on. How many people are listening to Christmas music already? Let me see here. Wow. How many of you would like to come in this week, actually tomorrow, and help set up some Christmas decorations? Let me see your hand. Look at that. Okay, did you say, honey, is there a sign up or something, or just show up? Wait, what time? 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. They're going to be, Susie is going to start setting up for Christmas. Because remember, there's no service here Thursday, this coming Thursday. You saw it in the announcements, and I know everybody watches the announcements, takes it all in, reads their bulletin, never has a question about nothing, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, Thursday night prayer time at St. Anthony's. Come on, tell them that. It's 7 o'clock. It's a regional prayer meeting. I hope you'll make extra effort to come to that. We need that now. And I think after you hear what I'm going to share with you this morning, you'll know that. So this week, some of the Christmas decorations are going to come up, and they're going to start tomorrow morning. I also need some strapping men and some strong women as well to help bring all the Christmas decorations that are in the Outback. Ben Martin will be back there. He'll show you. It'll take 4 minutes if we have some help to do that, and just bring them out and set them up on the platform. They'll all be really excited about that. And then 51 days until 2019. Can you believe that? It's amazing. The year, I just ended your year in about 60 seconds, just like that. Last week I told you I wanted to sow some seeds, some healthy seeds for family before the holiday season began, and the response that I got was really incredible. I got much positive. I got some that was less than stellar. And I know, you know, when I get up and communicate, it's not always going to be popular with everyone. I get that, and I'm okay with it. I'm just the messenger boy. I'm just telling you what was already told. But I thought, and I wanted to do this series this month on Thanksgiving. We had a look made. We have a graphic designer that works a day or two a week for us. It helps us with a lot of these things. And we had a look for it called Thanksgiving. I heard that word a month or two ago, and it just stuck in me. And I got a couple messages ready, but I couldn't do it. I had to talk on this about family again today, because you can make all the plans you want. You can have all the holiday stuff going on. You can bring out your best dishes. You can eat, drink, and be merry. But if you got issues in your home, you're just going through the motions, and you lose the significance of what this time of year really represents. And I know there will be a quarter of a quarter of a quarter of 1% of people that want to get in some big argument that, you know, he wasn't born on Christmas. Okay, you can believe he was born whenever you want. But the reality of it is, we celebrate that in this next few weeks in the time that we live in. So you can separate yourself from it, but you're going to bring then another complication to your family as well as to your own life. So just get on with it today. Let's let God work in our hearts. Let's let him change our lives. And let's embrace what he has for us. Some of the greatest moments of your life can be in these holiday seasons when, you know, whether it's during Thanksgiving and God moves on your heart to be thankful for some things that you've just taken for granted. I'm going to tell you something. That is a prayer in my life. God, help me not to take for granted what you have blessed me with right now. But and then through the beautiful Christmas season, so many things to partake of. You can get so busy and get going so fast, and you miss the beautiful significance of what God wants to do and release in your life in that time. I know what that's like. I grew up in that kind of home, no hope, no life from God, no people that love God in my life, nothing like that. Just alone and dark, no hope in my life, no gospel in my life. But when we embrace the Word of God and the purposes of God, He leads us and takes us to a higher level that we can live. And that doesn't mean that He makes us better than anyone, but He causes us to rise higher in life. That we see things that seem to be so insurmountable. When we go higher with Him, He minimizes what they are to our lives. The Bible says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Not that we can make God any bigger, but we can sure allow Him to be bigger in our lives. And the Bible says that when that happens, that we will recognize some things that are going on in our lives. I've been reading in the book of Ephesians, and this scripture is so real that speaks to you and I about what sometimes we go through in life. Paul says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:12. But we wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. What's that mean? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You are not my issue. And I am not your issue. You are not my problem, and I am not your problem. Your family member is not your problem, and you're not their problem. The Bible says here very clearly, we don't wrestle against other people, but we wrestle against these principalities, these powers, rulers in the darkness of this age, against a spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Boy, that seems pretty intense right there, doesn't it? And he goes on to say, therefore, and anytime you see the word therefore, always look and why it's therefore. It's therefore what we just read, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our enemy is not other people. It's an evil spirit that would try to come in and destroy who we are as His people. He said, take up the whole armor of God, that you can stand in the evil day. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. He puts this incredible emphasis on this word, stand. And I'll get to that in just a moment. He said, gird your waist with the truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. That's not your righteousness. That's what God's done for you. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I talked about it last week, that we are to live in peace, not just flirt around with it once in a while or walk into some, oh, that was peaceful. God wants you and I to live in peace. And He said, prepare your feet with the gospel of peace so that you walk in it. And He says, above all, take the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation. What God has called you and I to live under, that He saved you, that He's redeemed you, He shed His blood for you. And when you know these things and you have that as a helmet covering who you are as an individual, He said, then take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's not what someone else says about you. It's what He says about you. It's not what life says or tries to define who you are. It's what God defines who you are. He said, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then He ends it up and He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. This is a powerful scenario of verses because He talks about our families, our homes that come under attack in the course of life. You can say, well, you know, I just don't like it. I don't believe in that. You can dislike it and not believe in it. It is the way life is. And if you have ever gone through an attack, you know exactly what I'm speaking of. And they're bigger, these demonic attacks, they're bigger than finances. They're bigger than a battle in your job. I'm referring not to just something, you know, somebody that cuts in front of you. I'm referring to a spiritual battle which will take a spiritual solution. And the apostle, he brings this to light after this message, and he talks about family in many of these chapters in Ephesians. He starts in Ephesians 5 about marriage and husbands and wives and homes. And then in chapter 6, for our children and how they're the honor, their mother and father. In Ephesians 5, he lays out some of these steps. It won't be up on the screen, but you can look at it later. Ephesians 5, 3 and 4. He says, among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed. I always find it incredible that he throws greed right in with sexual impurity. He says, because these are improper for God's holy people, nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place. And then he ends it up and he says, but rather thanksgiving. I had to have something about Thanksgiving season in there. Then he goes on in Ephesians 5:8. He said, you were once in darkness, but now you're the light of the Lord. He said, live as children of the light. Live like you've been changed. Ephesians 5:17, he said, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't get drunk on wine. Be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns, songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 21, to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. He says in verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Now, husbands, before you throw your chest out and your head back, he says in verse 25, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and died for her. And when your husband, men, when we will die for our wives, they will have no problem submitting. We get that all twisted up. That's for another day, though. And Paul says that our struggles, they're not, even through all of this, he said, when you get your life in the perspective of God has called you to be in, these attacks that you go through, they are not in flesh and blood. The origin of these struggles are from a spiritual realm. In fact, he calls them a host of wickedness. Now, you can believe or you could not believe. It doesn't matter. They're still there, and they're out for you and I. But he gives us some thoughts on how to deal with it. He talks about principalities and powers. He says in Romans 8:38, that principalities cannot keep us from the love of God. He says in Ephesians 1:20 that Jesus is enthroned in heaven far above all principalities and all powers. Aren't you glad today that no matter what the enemy throws in your way, that the power of God is beyond anything that can take you down today? And he tells us that we need to learn to stand. He says in James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So what's he tell us? He says to stay standing. You need to stay in a posture that you're not going to run when trouble comes your way. You are the word stand there means to keep your place. It means not to have a hesitation. It means not to waver. It means to uphold or to sustain the authority or the force of anything. What a day to talk about this. I'm going to tell you, every veteran that is in this house today knows what I'm talking about. At one point or another, they took a stand, and thank God that they didn't back down or they didn't move away what was trying to come against them at that time. Amen. When you encounter a battle and you stand, you not only overcome the opposition, but you take ground in your pursuit to God. Listen, anybody knows that has ever been in a good scrap or a fight, that if you stand up to that bully, You'll not only push him back, but you'll take the ground that he tried to take from you. Amen. Zechariah 2:5 says, "For I, says the Lord, I'll be a wall of fire around her. I will be the glory in her midst. When you stand, God will be a protection for you and with you. When you stand, you topple the enemy from taking any advantage in your life and in your home." Every dad needs to hear me today. Dads, you and I are called to stand. You have to learn to stand in unity, because division will bring harm and hurt to your life. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." He is saying that every one of us are susceptible to falling away, to losing what God has done in our lives. You can't lose it, but we just put it on a shelf and we forget the significance that it can hold in our lives. 1 Timothy 2:14 says that Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Why did that happen? Because when the enemy came to Eve, Adam had separated himself from her. You cannot have division in your home. There's sometimes I wanted just to be mad at my wife. Does anybody ever get in a disagreement on a Saturday and you got to show up at church on a Sunday? You got to make things right. You either make them right before, or you're going to make it, he's going to cause you. I can't tell you the amount of times in our marriage when I've looked over right in the middle of the worship and I looked at my wife and I said, "I'm sorry. I was wrong. Thank you, Wayne." But you got to stay in unity. You have to stay together. You have to stand together. Homes will come apart when they're not in unity. Matthew 12:25 says, "A house divided against itself, it cannot stand." And even in the house of God, 1 Corinthians 1:10, "I plead with you, brother, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Together. And Ephesians 4:3 says, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Because unity brings peace. God help us with this. Jesus said in Matthew 18:19 that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Agreement. Praying together. Moms and dads, husbands and wives, when you stand together and pray together, nothing shall be impossible to you. I'm going to close on this. Last, stand. You have to stand together in prayer. Listen, this Thursday is a perfect time. Say, "Well, I'm just not that prayer kind of person." Let me tell you something. If you're left alone and the enemy attacks you, you're going to learn how to pray really fast. Help! Help! That's the greatest prayer that I've ever prayed. Help, Lord. But I don't want to wait until that comes. He tells us to put on the armor of God, gird our waists with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the gospel of peace, shield of faith, you can stop the missiles of the evil one, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. And then he says, pray with all prayer. Pray with all kinds of prayers. I don't care if you pray in the King James language, the New International Version, the English Version translation. You can pray all kinds of prayers you want. I meet some of the sweetest, well-meaning people. "Oh, thou, oh, Lord, who is highly enthroned in heaven." I'm like, "Huh? You talk to your wife or your husband like that?" I do sometimes with my wife. "Oh, darling, who is enthroned?" No. Pray all kinds of prayers. God help us today. You pray prayers when you're in the middle of it. You pray prayers before it's coming, when you're coming out of it. You pray all kinds of prayer. You pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You pray every way. And when families come under attack, you and I must pray. But don't wait until that moment. Begin to learn to pray right now. That's why when we were praying this morning and I said, I want everybody to pray. There is something that happens in the house of God when the people of God all join together in unison and pray one together. You can have conflicts, you can have disagreements, but when you pray together, he breaks all of that away off of your life. Not repetitious prayers, but spirit-led, spirit-filled, spirit-directed prayer. When we pray, something happens. Parents, when you pray, something happens. Kids, when you pray for your parents, something mighty will happen in your life. You don't have to give up. You don't have to give in. God's calling you to stand in faith, stand in unity, and stand in prayer. And watch the hand of God move you in the direction that he has called you to live in today. Come on, do you receive it today with all your heart? Come on. Just close your eyes and bow your head. I want to pray for you today. Pray for you as a family today. Pray that you will see the best that God has for you. Pray that whatever obstacle that you are dealing with in your life right now, that as you pray, God will move that out of the way. And as you stand, some of you, you have it in your DNA to give up too quickly and just, let's just run from this. God's calling you to stand. Stand. Stand therefore. Take a posture. I'm not moving. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He took a stand. I want those that are going to pray at the altar with me, if you'd come down. I'm going to close in prayer. Maybe you're here today and you need to give your life to Jesus. You can do that before you leave today. Just come down. Ask any one of these to pray for you. Say, I want to give my heart to Jesus. You'll never know the best that he has for you until you give it all to him. Spirit of the living God, today, I pray a hedge of protection over our lives, our families, and the ones that we love. I pray for the church, Lord, here, that you'll bring just incredible hope into every life. Lord, as we begin to move into this most beautiful time of the year, pray that you'll help us not to get caught up in things that have and make no difference. But God, help us to surrender completely and totally over to who you have called us to be. I pray this today in the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. I love you. You need prayer today? Come on down here. Make sure you tell Bruce and Peggy too on the way out. Thank you for the beautiful table of goodies. Stop, have some coffee with somebody on the way out. I love you. If you need prayer, come on down before you leave today. God's got a plan for your life. God bless you.